Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today is a joyous occasion for the Cubs fans. They celebrate their first World Series championship in 109 years. World champs. As a Cubs fan, I sat there and watched that parade and I said, did this really happen? Then I watched the game. I said, did that really happen? It was a terrific seven-game series. Hats off to the Cleveland Indians. They were terrific. They were missing two pitchers, and they just played. They didn't use that as an excuse. I just have the utmost respect for Terry Francona, who can flat-out coach, who's a Hall of Fame manager right now because he won two championships with the Red Sox. He took the Cleveland Indians. They were on the brink of taking it. And the Cubs come back from down 3-1. Make it an exciting series, the highest rating series, one of the highest rated World Series games of all time. That's because people wanted to see if the Cubs were going to break the curse or not, of course. But it's broken, and they did it. And that's a great feeling if you're a Cubs fan to get through a Game 7. And speaking of that, we have Chicago Cub writer Al Yellen from SB Nation. And Al, before we get into any questions, I want to personally thank you. Twice you talked me off the ledge when I was frustrated. Just as a fan, I do a show and I'm a professional journalist, but as a Cub fan, I was furious with the Cubs when they got swept by the Mets and they lost to the Dodgers 2 out of 3. I was a little mad at them during the playoffs, and you played the role of a psychiatrist, and you did a fantastic job. I just want to tell you that.
Well, you know, this team was different than any other Cubs team we've ever seen before. They were just not going to let themselves lose. And
no.
We saw that, you know, we saw that in every series during this postseason, and we especially saw that in Game 7.
I want you to tell my audience the atmosphere in Chicago when they were in the World Series and then the parade.
Well, I can here's a quick personal story that'll tell you what things were like. I live about 2.5 miles from Wrigley Field, and about a half hour after Game 7 ended, I stepped out on my deck. This is after midnight, just to get a little air, and I could hear the cheering from all the people in the streets at Wrigley, 2.5 miles away.
Wow, awesome! Now, before we get into the World Series, I'm gonna give you my opinion. I'm going to ask you for your opinion. I thought the biggest moments before the World Series, I thought two of the biggest moments, obviously, was the comeback against the Giants in Game 4. You didn't want to Game 5 with that pressure. I thought the biggest hit in this postseason was Game 4 when Addison Russell woke up, hit that home run against the Dodgers because they never played well in L.A., I saw a different – after they got Arrieta got shelled in Game 3, the Cubs looked kind of nervous. And Addison Russell hit the home run, and their mentality was, here we go. We've done this all year. We're going to do it again. And in my mind, in my heart, I said, they're going to get to the World Series. That home run, because it turned Russell's postseason numbers around, and he was a postseason beast the rest of the way. What do you think? You give
right,
me a moment in the postseason.
Yeah, you've got a really good point there. You know, you're right that the team, you know, teams have been shut out two games in a row, and they started that next game looking like they weren't going to hit there either. And then all of a sudden, Russell hit the home run, and the bats just woke up, and they just blew the Dodgers out for three straight games. So yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, Russell and Anthony Rizzo hadn't been hitting up till that point, and both of them had home runs in that game, and both started hitting after that.
Before I get to my next question, how good is Addison Russell going to be? He's this good under pressure. He's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's 22, and you know, like you know, as you say, a lot of guys that age are playing Double A. So here's a guy who's had two really good major league seasons and performed under pressure in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, he can only get better from here. These guys are so young. That's going to, you know, we forget that Rizzo, who is a, you know, a veteran and an MVP candidate and the leader of this team, he's still only 27. You know, he's got good years. He could still get better from here.
The whole team is young. And I want to tell you, in the World Series, I thought the biggest moment, of course, the big moment was a lot of moments in Game 7 we're going to get in. The biggest moment leading up to Game 7 was that home run that Chris Bryant hit in Game 5 where there was a lot of pressure in Chicago not to get swept, and they were scuffling in Chicago. When he hit that home run, it electrified the crowd. The crowd was no longer nervous. The bats, I mean, they ended up getting clutch play. And a heroic effort by Chapman coming in the seventh. I thought the Chris Bryant homer was huge.
Got to agree with you. That was a key moment. Again, that's a thing that let everybody relax, both in the stands and I think in the dugout, that they knew they were going to, you know, suddenly start hitting the Cleveland pitchers that they hadn't hit before. And, you know, you're right about Chapman, too, coming through in that game five with all those big outs late in the game. Unfortunately, you know, I think that kind of gassed Chapman. I think he was done after that, which led to the game tying home run in game seven. Fortunately, that worked out for the best.
And I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know, you've talked to Cub fans. When he gave up that home run and it was 6-6, normally I'm normally negative and nervous. I'm like, oh, I said, if they don't come up with the win in this inning or get the lead, I said, you know, okay, it's tied. The Cubs, I felt like they were still going to win after all of the nonsense and the ridiculous taking Hendricks out too soon. I still felt like somehow they were going to win that game, and I've never felt like that as a Cubs fan.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this team is different, and you kind of have the sense that they had it no matter what. And, you know, thanks to Jason Hayward, who had that little team meeting during the rain delay. And I think that really pushed them on to have that 10th inning rally and win. You know, Jason Hayward had a tough year at the plate. He was great in the field. But that team meeting might be the single best thing he ever did the whole season.
But, you know, he's beloved in that locker room. He didn't swing it that well. He made me mad swinging the bat. But he played hard, and he made a great catch in right field in game five. And that and the his teammates swear by him.
Right. And Jason Hayward is not a guy who you know, is more of a quiet guy. He leads by example. So for him to have that team meeting and you know, remind everybody how good they were, you know, that took a lot for Jason Hayward to do that. And I think you're right. His teammates really respect him. And, they spent a lot of money on Jason Hayward. It might have been all worth it just for that team meeting and that win.
Now, finally, I'm going to give you this question. I'm going to tell you the three biggest curse-breaking moves. Theo Epstein, John Lester, and Joe Maddon. I know they questioned him with the managing in the series, but overall he's a great manager, and he was a game-changer when he came. But those are the three guys I think about when I think about this World Series. You elaborate on that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, obviously Theo Epstein put together his plan and they had some bad major league season, lost 101 games. You know, Anthony Rizzo talked about that during the rally. You know, he was on a team that lost 101 games. But if they don't do that, you know, have that bad year and the bad year after that, they don't have Kyle Schwarber and Chris Bryant. So I guess that was the right thing to do. Joe Maddon, absolutely. He helped change the whole culture of the clubhouse and put a winning attitude in there. And they got, you know, they were just lucky to get him. And I honestly don't think John Lester signs with the Cubs if Maddon's not the manager. I think that signing Joe Maddon, among other factors, said to John Lester, you know, we want to win right now. And that's, you know, I think if Maddon's not the manager, I think John Lester might have signed with the Giants. So, when Lester was a free agent, Buster Posey went to Lester's house. They both live in the same area in Atlanta. And Posey, you know, in person went to make a plea to John Lester. But I think because Joe Maddon was here and because the Cubs made a real great presentation to Lester and, of course, they were familiar with him from their time together in Boston. Yeah, those are the three key moves. I would totally agree with you.
Well, you're terrific as usual. I know you have other interviews to go to. I'm looking forward to talking to you next year when they raise the flag.
That works for me. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
That was Al Yellen of the Nation. He was great as usual. He, I tell you, I was very frustrated in the middle of the season when they were scuffling. But he explained to me, listen, this team is on a mission. And I said, you know what? He's in Chicago. He knows. And they were able to get it done. I'm going to tell you something before I get into college football. They need to sign Chapman. Chapman showed heart. Coming in the seventh inning, I was furious when Madden put him in the seventh. But he, in game five, he showed heart by pitching through all the way through the ninth in game five to get him to Cleveland. Then in game seven, when he got hit and lit up in the eighth inning, he comes back in the ninth and gets a 1-2-3 inning and gets out of a situation that gives the Cubs a chance to win. For that reason, I'm signing him. And I'm signing Dexter Fowler because he's one of the best leadoff hitters in the league. And he showed me something by the big home run in game seven. I'm going to go over the cap because a lot of star players are not even up for their contract yet. So if you really want to repeat and make a legacy and make a run, I'm greedy. You know, I'm still a fan in football. So I know about championships and repeating. I want another one. You know, I just want another one. And I think that they have an opportunity because most of the players are 24 and under. You have Rizzo at 27. He's still young. And they can get younger pitching. I would try to make a run at Chris Sale, too. So that's my take on baseball. Now we're going to go to the college football. The only really game I care about is Alabama-LSU. The schedule's not great. Florida plays Arkansas. I'm going to get into that a little bit. I think Arkansas can win at home. I think Brett Bielema is going to have them ready to play. They played miserably in Auburn 2 weeks ago. So I think they're going to get the job done. Alabama-LSU. My question is, can Danny Etling take the pressure off Leonard Fournette and make enough throws that opens the field up? When you have Leonard Fournette could actually – Coach Ogeron has Leonard Fournette just as running, but he's catching the ball out of the backfield. They might have him do that more. I think they're going to open it up a little because you're just going to bam it through the middle on Alabama. They have two of the best defensive players in the country, bar none, and Tim Williams, who's a beast, and the biggest beast of them all, Jonathan Allen, who's unblockable. I've seen him walk through double teams. And that's going to be the challenge. And I think another challenge is how good LSU's defense is. And then walking into Baton Rouge, I'm going to say it like I'm Cajun, and trying to get a win is not going to be easy for Jalen Hurts, who's walked into Knoxville and won, walked into Ole Miss and won. Death Valley at night is a little different story. I think there's going to be the fan base is going to be very fired up. I think the key is getting the best tight end in football, college football, O.J. Howard involved. Because you know Ridley and Stewart are going to do what they have to do. And you know the Crimson Tide is going to run Damian Harris. And Bo Scarborough is kind of an underrated running back because he had an 85-yard run in their game, I believe it was Ole Miss. So he's underrated too. Whew. Part of me says LSU could pull off the upset because of how hard they're playing for Coach Ogeron and they're due. They're 0-5 versus Alabama. Ever since the national championship game, I believe in 2011, LSU lost their swagger because they were beating up on Alabama. They beat Alabama and Alabama that year, 9-6, in that rugged, rough game. They lost that national championship game, never beat Alabama since. Very close games in LSU. I believe that the last-second win, Blake Sims broke their heart. I really thought LSU had that game won, and Sims pulled a rabbit out of the hat. McCarron's pulled a rabbit out of the hat. But LSU fan base is like, no more rabbits. We're going to get this one. I'm going to go to Alabama in a close game, but I would not be surprised at all if LSU won. I looked at the top five for the playoff, top four, and you had Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, but then you had Texas A&M because they felt like Washington's schedule wasn't good. Now, I would put Washington at four because my eyes are telling me Washington is the fourth best team in the country the way they're playing. They won in Utah, which was tough. Stanford was good at the time. They blew Stanford out. I know they blew Oregon out. Oregon's a mess. But the Pac-12 is not great. It's not as bad as the Big 12. The Big 12, they play no defense. And Oklahoma's playing really well, but I do not want to hear Bob Stoops' mouth. Yeah, I don't dislike a lot of coaches in college football, You know, there are teams I don't really root for, but that's the only coach I dislike because he runs his mouth and he's terrible under pressure, and he cashes checks he can't. He cashes rubber checks because he talks all this junk about his program and he never, ever shows up in the big game. Had an opportunity to show up against Houston, lost this year, got blown out. Had an opportunity to redeem himself to play at home against Ohio State, got blown out. We don't even know if Ohio State's any good. That's my issue with him, and they're playing well. I could see him coming up with a soundbite if they ever won out and be like, we deserve to get in. No, you don't. Oh, I could never have Bob Stoops on my show. That would be the only time it would be a screaming match. And I would bring up every one of his big games that he lost to shut him up. Only coach. And the thing is, I was a big, big Barry Switzer fan. I love Barry Switzer. He had, I believe, 3 national championships. So when he talked, he backed it up. Not this guy. So I'm hoping that. I'm openly rooting for them to lose, just get out of the picture. And I really was going to get into Oklahoma last year. I said maybe they could beat Clemson. Didn't even show up. You finally got into the playoffs, and you didn't even show up. You embarrassed the Big 12. So I don't want to see any team out of the Big 12, and I was really into Baylor and TCU, and they let me down. I think Texas is going to be good next year. They're going to keep Charlie Strong because Herman, now that Tom Herman lost to Navy and then got blown out by SMU, the bloom is a little bit off the rose, and I think the good old boys in Texas are going to decide to keep Charlie Strong, and Charlie Strong built a good program. We have a caller. Yes, Coach Radio Show.
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning. I just want to say that before it's too late, before we make the playoffs,
I'm not going to
officially
you say this
opening, giving opening enrollment for anyone who wants to come along the Cowboys train right now. Come on up.
Really?
One free pass.
Really?
No fee to get on the Cowboy bandwagon to go all the way to the Super Bowl. This is a one and
right,
a lifetime.
First of all, okay, slow down, player. Slow down for a second. Getting all the way to the Super Bowl, you got to slow down because I think the Cowboys are definitely, if Romo is playing, they're going to the Super Bowl because this looks like, in my eyes are telling me this looks like a Super Bowl team, the way you're running and playing defense. I just wonder when he gets in the playoffs and now a defense can scheme your running game and load up the box and dare him to throw deep. Because you had a ropes against Philadelphia last week. You were ready to go until the Eagles decided they want to drop balls to be stupid. And you pulled it out. I give you credit. I just want to see you in December if we can carry this. I like you in November, but can you do it in December? And I want to see what the Giants are going to do. Giants beat the Eagles. I'm still picking them to win the division because I got them beating you guys again in the Meadowlands.
Well,
now the Giants lose, forget what I just said. But the Giants can still compete for the division.
As has already been proven, that the Giants is not the same caliber team as the Cowboys. We're in two different leagues.
I mean, they beat you already, so I don't know about the same caliber stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they walked into the Big D and beat you.
Week one was preseason for the Cowboy games. As you know,
week one
won
is a regular season
game.
It's not preseason. Yeah, but
it was
still,
preseason
now, you're offering
Dak Prescott.
I understand that, but a lot of Giants listen to this show, and you know by offering Giants fans a contract to sign the Dallas family, you know that's going to infuriate the Giants. You know that, right?
That's okay. Well, I'm trying to tell them, you know, if they want to get with the red, white, and blue and be a part of this great franchise.
Well, that's the red, white, and blue. That's the Giants.
They're the knockoff.
They're the knockoff.
We are really true American team. All across the
country. Now, next week I got to get a Giant. You're going to call in next week. I'm going to get a Giant fan to call in and debate you because if a Giant fan heard it, this would get far under their skin. Giant fans are already tired of Cowboy fans talking. So I might as well just get a Giant fan on.
Well,
and then let you get it on with somebody.
here's the thing. Giant fans are really undercover Cowboy fans. Now, let me tell you,
that is a terrible thing to say about
Giant fans were sitting home watching Philadelphia Eagles play.
And cheering for the Eagles. They're cheering for the Eagles. I know Giant fans are openly upset that the Eagles lost. You can't. That's terrible. And you're the self-proclaimed champ of this radio show. We took out everybody else. You're the champ. So now I got to find you a challenger. You can't be the champ unless you got some comp. So I'm going to get you some comp next week. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But honestly, who do you like out of the Giants or Philly? I think you already told us. But
I like the Giants. I like the Giants because they're home. If it's in Philly, I like Philadelphia.
Okay. So next week, I'm going to need you to recant that once you see.
Oh, I'll recant it if they lose. If I told you if the Cowboys beat the Giants, I'm writing a written, prepared apology to you. I meant that on the air because I believe the Giants will find a way to beat you guys again. And I think you guys are having a terrific season. As a Steelers fan, I don't think that I think the Cowboys have an edge over Pittsburgh. And I told you, I'm being honest with you all the time on the show. Now, if I thought Pittsburgh would beat you, no, because our run defense, we can't stop high school running backs right now. So they have to figure that out. So until they figure it out, you got to stick it out. So I'll give you that one. But the Giants will figure it out when you walk into Giants. When you walk to the MetLife Stadium, the Giants feel like they kind of own you this year. So you got to change that around, my friend.
Well, I told everyone, coming off the bye, there was only one team that I was worried about that would give us problems, and that was the Eagles. So now that we've passed that hump, I think we're good.
Listen, I got to let you go. I got to let you go. Now, another caller, but listen, next week you're going to be up to a challenge, right?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We have another caller from California. What's up?
Man, this is Rob from California.
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey, well, I guess it's the Lakers that's what's up. I know you love the Lions, but we got to talk about that beatdown they gave Golden State yesterday.
Do you know what I mean, bro? All those Golden State Warrior fans that never came out of that – Man, bro, these Golden State Warriors out here, fans, bro, like, we didn't see none of them, bro. They were all Laker fans about 5 years ago, bro. Now they're having Golden State Warriors.
I saw that. Yeah, because
I'm from Southern California, bro.
I tell you, I love Walton. I love the direction they're going. I love how they got Randall passing the ball really well. They're maybe one more star away. Like if Carl Towns, who's wasting away, Carl Towns is a friend of mine. I've known him since ninth grade. If he's wasting away in Minnesota, like if you plug them into this Laker team, they become a championship team. So
exactly.
Let them develop.
That's what we need
and grow. Yes, that's all you need. But right now, enjoy the growth because it's not about the playoffs. Wish it could be AC, but enjoy the climb. And they're having fun. Swaggy P, I never wanted him to go. I loved him in L.A. I love how him and Russell worked everything out, and I loved how Walton has worked that team, and they're going to be better. Now, I'm a little concerned next week because they got to go to Golden State, so Golden State's going to be a little ticked off next week when we go to Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to roll up into Oakland because you're a tough guy. I saw you on Facebook. I said, this is a guy I kind of don't really want to pick a fight with. You're going to roll up into Oakland with your Lakers stuff, talk about, what?
That's like going to the Raiders stadium with my Lions jersey, bro.
Oh my gosh, you're a tough dude. I'm a Steelers fan, and I won't even do that. But let me tell you, let's talk about your Lions. The Central Division. I know you scuffled around. The Central Division is wide open. Green Bay is very vulnerable. I thought Minnesota was halfway good.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. Like me, I'm a diehard Lions fan, and I'm not delusional, but I think that losing to the Texans cost us our season because those are games that we have to win. Green Bay lost against Atlanta. Okay, Chicago beat Minnesota, so that's our. You know, we had to beat Houston,
to stay in contention. Now we're just going to play.
I agree and disagree. I'm going to tell you why I disagree. I'm going to tell you why I disagree, because of the fact that you got all those division games ahead of you. You need to beat Green Bay twice. You need to beat Minnesota. You're going to have to win games that you were picked to win if you want to really make this run. Because Stafford is playing. He's mature to the point. He's top five quarterback right now, the way he's balling, because he can see the field better than he ever has. I love the team. The defense is going to come along. It's just that you got to take advantage of opportunities. The opportunity is there because everybody in your division is suspect right now.
Yes, sir. I'm going to guarantee you, like I said this, we're going to take out Sam Bradford tomorrow, bro, because last year when we played Minnesota, they went after Matthew Stafford. He got speared about eight times. He got hit a lot.
I didn't know that.
So I'm just saying, this year, we're taking out Sam Bradford. I'm letting you know that right now. Tomorrow he gets injured. That's coming from a diehard Lion fan in California, bro. Tomorrow,
let me
I don't
tell
like
you something.
Injuries.
I will.
But,
yeah. I'll tell you, I'll
injure
you religiously. The Lions.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you definitely have a chance. Now, I saw, you know, I'm a diehard Cub fan. I suffered some bad losses, 100 loss seasons. People being like, I would go to Yankee Stadium because I'm living in the New York area. The Yankee fans would put their arms around me while I was at Yankee Stadium, not even laughing at me, talking about my condolences. I feel sorry for you. I hope you win one day. They would just crowd around me just feeling sad when I would go there. And now I don't ever have to deal with that no more. You need to feel that if the Lions could ever get to the Super Bowl and win. You never have to deal with people laughing at you no more.
Exactly. I'm from California. Like my football team is the Lions because of Barry Sanders since I was in sixth grade.
Oh, man.
My idol was Magic Johnson. From like I said, my team is Michigan State. My team is the Lakers, and my baseball team is Seattle Mariners because of King Griffey Jr. I don't ever switch teams, bro, even though he left to Cincinnati. I never switch teams.
Let me,
I stay loyal
to
my Mariners.
Let me tell you what I did. I'm going to tell you what I did. I love Lynn Swann, so Steelers. I love Magic Johnson. That's why I started in L.A. And then I love Sammy Sosa because I didn't really have a team. I fell in love with Sammy Sosa in 1998. And I said, well, nobody accused me of being on the Cubs bandwagon. So let me just ride these guys whether they win or not. And they won. So listen, ride your team because you might get a World Series with Seattle with that doggone King Felix. You might get a Super Bowl with Stafford if you could build the right pieces around them. And well, they would tear Detroit up if y'all, you guys won the Super Bowl. Oh, my.
That's what I'm
you
saying. They need – if they give the Rams a Super Bowl, they can give us a Super Bowl.
Come on, man. I know. I read your post and I thought about you, man. Like, you're saying to the Lions and Lions fans, come on, the Cubs won. It's our time, man. I don't want to see a ring, right?
Exactly, bro. Exactly. It's been, what, 57 since we won a NFC – I'm sorry, an NFL championship.
And a championship of 57, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, I got to let you know. It was a big-time call by you, man. I do the show because of the fans. You know, as cocky as the Cowboys fans are, it's fun, and he wants to take on a back. I'm going to find a really knowledgeable Shy fan. He better be on his game next week. But I'm looking forward to watching the games, and I do a lot of NFL talk. It's going to be Denver, Oakland, just about the entire show Monday.